You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. Gym Class, setting sail on a Monday here in Eastern Iowa. Great to have you with us here as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, across the table. Isaac Elzinga on the other side of the glass, our producer here today. Got a good show for you. A lot to digest from the weekend. We've got, we'll talk about the WNBA opening weekend. PGA Championship, historic one, and we will tell you about that coming up. Not a good weekend for the Iowa baseball team, and more coming your way before 4 o'clock here today. 319-366-1600, that's 319-366-1600, that is the text line. Love to hear from you. Always appreciate you texting into the program. You can also give us a call at 319-366-1600 here today. And Mark, a pleasant good afternoon. Hope you had a good weekend.
To you as well. I did. Good afternoon, Scott and Isaac, everyone. And it's appropriate you said, let's set sail. Bit of a windy day here.
I am so tired of the wind.
It does get old. Sunday was pretty good from that regard, but not the greatest of days for high school baseball openers.
No. Baseball and softball getting underway across the state of Iowa. The boys and girls of summer. We are still the only state in the union to play summer baseball. I like it. Now, should it go all the way to where it does? That's debatable. But I love summer baseball, and it's not going to feel like summer today. Take a couple of coats along, especially if it's a night game out there. Isaac, how are you? Good weekend for you.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend. There was some wrestling going on. There's always controversy in the freestyle world with what's a takedown and what's not.
Mm.
One was pretty clear, in my opinion, that wasn't called. But, you know, it is what it is. That happens in the wrestling world now and then.
Now, what? More details on that, please.
That was Kyle Dake and Carter Starace.
Yeah.
Okay. They were tied 3-3. Dake was winning on criteria. Starace, it looked like he had full hip control. He had control of both legs. Was ruled no takedown. Now, I haven't looked myself, but people online were saying, based off of freestyle criteria, it was a good no takedown call. But the way it looked, like, it doesn't get more takedown than that, in my opinion. So, it was interesting.
Oh, where would we be without controversy?
Always something. Always something.
In the world of sports. And we got a little bit of that to talk about here today. Again, 319-366-1600 is the text line. That is the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and say hi to Isaac here today, we would love to hear from you out there. We'll give you another chance to get into the Spring of the Cash giveaway. Coming up, we'll have an Emil Sideaway scoreboard update for you as well before 4 o'clock here today. No Spencer on sports, should let you know that. Spencer is off today. He will be back tomorrow. Cubs and the Marlins coming up 5:05 this afternoon from down in South Florida. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. 319-366-1600. Mark, it took less than 18 hours. 18 hours for controversy. Oh, my gosh. Raise your hand unless you're driving. Did you expect any controversy in the first weekend of the WNBA? Yeah. We got it. It took less than 18 hours from the start of the league season to get the headlines and to get everybody on whichever side of the aisle you prefer to start talking about. So this and that, and here we go again. Round number two.
Yeah, you refer to the Fever's opening game, I think.
Yes.
Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese becoming involved in a controversy, so to speak. And I'll be interested to hear what people have to say about this. I certainly have my opinion.
It's a situation where you've got two people that clearly don't like each other.
I don't know about that.
I don't think they like each other.
I think that's debatable.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't think they like each other. You've got the Indiana Fever with a new coach, Stephanie White, coming in. They were thought of last year as a quote-unquote soft team. A soft team. Well, they're not soft this year. They came out preseason. We're showing they're a lot tougher. Caitlin Clark had the opportunity to go after Angel Reese. And I think there was about perhaps 2.5 years of angst in there as she wrapped her up. And then at the end, that right arm went up a little bit. And then Caitlin escapes to the other end of the court while everybody else is mingling about and whatnot. But I think there was a lot of pent-up frustration. And then, of course, you've got the whole thing igniting. You've got the jealousy. You've got the pettiness. You've got, of course, yes, a little bit of racism in there as well, because now the WNBA is looking into the Indiana Fever and some comments that were made by the crowd sitting around that particular area. You've got it all, baby, after 18 hours and one game. And a triple-double for Caitlin.
Well, yeah, she had a terrific game. And I'm not going to look at this through Caitlin-colored glasses like some people. Here's what I saw. Reese, first of all, pushed off with two hands on a Fever player.
She did.
When a shot went up. Caitlin saw that, not only saw that, but pointed to her teammate. And then quickly, wasn't pent up over 2.5 years necessarily. It was 2.5 seconds there. She quickly looked. Reese was going up for a layup. Hard foul, no question. And as you kind of reference, a little forearm shiver and a push by Caitlin Clark after that. It was a kind of a follow through, which is part of the flagrant foul situation. You can debate whether it was a flagrant foul or not, but Reese got up from the floor and immediately tried to get in Clark's face and said some things on her way to the bench or when she got to the bench that were not really unflattering towards Clark. As you mentioned, Clark walked away. Aaliyah Boston got in the middle of it.
She got the technical.
She got a technical foul, much to their surprise, and at least in the post game. But I have to say, Reese could have really fueled this situation after the game, but Reese said it was a basketball play. Move on.
Good for her.
I have to give her credit for that.
Good for her.
But I thought a great deal about this, not only during Sunday's game, but before this. I really believe it is more seated in jealousy than it is racism.
Oh, I agree.
Everybody, and I do believe there's a measure of racism involved, not only with Reese, but other black players towards Clark. We saw it last year when a player just blatantly pushed Caitlin Clark, and that player's not in the league anymore, basically because of her ability. But I do believe it has to do more with jealousy. All Reese hears is Caitlin Clark fills this arena. Caitlin Clark breaks this record. This, that, and the other thing. And maybe others besides Reese feel the same way, black or white. I don't know. But sometimes I think people have a hard time embracing, viewing people that have success, and they're jealous of that. And how do you respond to that? Well, other people respond differently, but I think that's Reese's response. If it had been Lexi Hall who committed the flagrant foul or Kelsey Mitchell, for that matter, would Reese have had the same reaction?
No. I'll
put this way, too. If another player on Chicago was going up for an uncontested layup, would Reese or would have Clark had the same? Would she committed the flagrant foul and give her a little push at the end? Those are questions you have to ask yourself. But in terms of this rivalry, made up or otherwise, and it goes back to the college days with the "you can't see me" gesture and the ring gesture and all that. It goes back to that. How much is manufactured and how much is real? You said that they don't like each other. I'm not sure that's true with Clark towards Reese. I think it's more Reese towards Clark. Maybe, I don't know. I think both took the high road after the game. What they say in private and what Reese has said on other platforms along the way in this whole thing, you have to wonder. But, I mean, the only thing Reese has going for her is she has more Instagram followers than Caitlin Clark.
Because they're terrible. The sky is terrible.
Reese is a very good rebounder.
Yes.
She knows how to get position, and she does it very well. She's set records already in the WNBA. An all-around game she does not have. Clark does.
True. 319-366-1600. Your first question, and I forgot it already, but that was a very good response. Would it have been the same thing if that was not Angel Reese? Is that the question it was?
The first question was, I don't remember which was first.
What was it, Isaac? Help us out. We're old.
Would Reese have had the same reaction towards
Lexi Hall,
Kelsey Mitchell, or Lexi Hall?
I think right away, but I don't think it would have festered as much. I think it was one of those, oh, man, what? Turn around and she saw Caitlin. And if she turned around and saw Kelsey Mitchell or whoever, I don't think it would have escalated quite as much as it did. How's that? That's my answer.
Yeah, some people want to like it to a preseason game when Kiki Irofan intentionally fouled Sophie Cunningham of the Fever. And Cunningham got up and got in Irofan's face. The difference was, if you go back and look at that, Irofan grabbed Cunningham around the waist and threw her to the floor. It wasn't Cunningham going up for a shot. Irofan basically threw Cunningham to the floor. Cunningham got up, got in her face. I don't think the two are comparable.
Yeah. A lot of interesting responses, as I imagine there would be on the text line. Several, by far the majority, are saying that this is, ladies and gentlemen, made for television. There was a reason the WNBA put the Indiana Fever and the Chicago Sky on Saturday afternoon on national television on opening day. And then, oh boy, this happens. 1626 says, created plus perpetuated by league, controversy equals viewers and dollars.
So we're now saying the WNBA is the WWE.
Well, somebody said WWF, but the same thing. WWE, WWF, whatever.
E, F, G, H, I don't know.
Right. It's all about drama. The WNBA, made for television, says Jeff, as the ball bounces. And Corey Urbana agrees with you. He says, not only do I think that Angel is jealous of Caitlin Clark and all the attention she gets, but now she's starting to realize Caitlin is not intimidated by her either. So that frustrates her. And Caitlin is easily the more well-rounded player.
Would you like to have seen a handshake line after yesterday's game? They don't do that in the WNBA.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Or in any pro sport, really. I don't know. I thought the foul, I knew immediately it would be something. I thought it was just a normal sort of, I see that foul all the time in the NBA. Like, I just don't know what the big deal is with it. But because it's those two, everyone's freaking out about
it. It's
those two. Like, I couldn't bring myself to care at all about that in one individual play. I thought it was way better conversations to be had about the weekend that was in basketball, in women's basketball, than just one play. But no one wants to talk about how good Indiana looks, how good, like, the two-woman game looked between Boston and Clark, or, Kelsey Plum almost putting up 40 in the first game on Friday. Like, no one wants to talk about that stuff, but
nope.
They want to talk about this one individual play, which is unfortunate because there was some, I don't know, I think there were interesting and fun basketball conversations to be had from the weekend, and instead we're talking about a foul that I feel like I see every other night in the NBA.
You do, and maybe that's part of it, like you said, Mark. Maybe, if this is not Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, nobody's even talking about it. But here we are talking about it today. People around the country, most, they're still talking about the NBA, but and the playoffs and the Knicks, and can they win? Stephen A.
Semifinals are set. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'm just bummed that my Toronto Maple Leafs, my adopted Maple Leafs, got skunked at home last night. In the NHL, as they're down to the Final Four as well. But I don't know. It's just almost, it seems, too much of a coincidence that this happened in the opening game on national TV. I don't know. Maybe I'm a controversial guy like that, but...
I appreciate Isaac's comments because you do see it in the NBA. You do see a squirmish every now and then, but it's not two characters that are so central to the league as are Clark and Reese.
Yeah, I know. It's just because it's these two. People freaking out about the foul aspect, saying like it was a dirty play one way or the other, or even Angel's reaction, which to me, again, I see reactions like that in the NBA pretty consistently. Like, to me, I don't care about those things. They're not interesting to me. Like, they happen in an instant, and then it seemed like both of them moved on pretty fast based off their postgame pressers.
And Indiana went on a roll after that.
So I can't bring myself to care about the non-basketball stuff, especially when stuff I see all the time. So, again, everyone has their own interests. Everyone watches sports in a different way. But myself, I couldn't. I don't care about an individual foul that feels pretty common. Was it a little bit rough? Sure, but again, games can be physical. That happens. I'm not gonna put too much stock into it.
ABC did push back the starting time because the first game was running late. They were going to get every minute of the Fever versus the Chicago Sky.
I mean, what the WNBA's reaction was to look into apparently some Fever fans who hurled racist comments at Reese.
And if they do that and they're found, then they should never go to another game.
That's what I was just going to say. I mean, yeah, that's obvious. But how are you going to prove that? I mean, you can, the old line about you can pay a ticket, you can do whatever you want. And, well, no, you can't.
No.
Go ahead and boo. But racist comments have no place in sports.
Or in society, for that matter. 319-366-1600 at 323. We'll get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for...
When do they play next, Isaac? Look that up.
You know what I was going to look at in 2030 reminded me of this. What about the sweep this weekend? Listen, if the Cubs can't sweep the Chicago White Sox, then they shouldn't be in first place. End of discussion.
Nobody's really talking about that.
Because it's supposed to happen.
June 7th is
June
the
7th.
Next time.
June 7th. So
Indiana?
We don't have to wait very far.
What was that?
Where at?
It looks like that's in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
In Chicago. Fever look good. Now it's one game out of, 40 that they play? Let's hope there's not 40 games of drama like this. I mean, I've said it before. I cannot get into the WNBA because of this. It's too much drama. I don't need more drama in my life. I just don't.
Who does?
Who does? I don't need more drama. Just sports as a kind of a sail away and get away from it all.
Let me guess that June 7th game will be a national TV game.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, I mean, the Fever only have three games that aren't nationally televised, okay. So it's a safe bet.
It's a pretty safe bet.
And why is that?
You can, I'm sure you can guess.
1626 says Clark is no angel either, and I will be the first to say that.
She darn near got suspended last year. She was one tech away from getting suspended.
And I would agree with that.
No, she hasn't gotten physical, per se. She's gotten knocked down more than a lot of players in the NBA, WNBA, at least last year. But, yeah, no.
I'm going to be very interested to see if the Fever keep this up, this very physical play, if this is going to be their new MO this year. They're going to come out that way because they want to show that we're not going to be pushed around anymore. We're not the Fever of last year. We're the Fever of this year. And I think they got a chance.
Long way to go. They're a better team. They made some great acquisitions. And, Sophie Cunningham didn't even play. And she's going to be a big part of this team. But Bonner, one of the all-time greats in the league, joins the team. She's maybe not in her prime right now, but she's going to help the team. And, it's just a much better team.
21-12, thank you for bringing it around to actual play on the court. The interesting conversation is next Saturday when they face the Liberty. Can they be an actual top contender? Very true. Very true. It is going to be early in the year, but that will be a good measuring stick for how good the Indiana Fever are. Will be that game.
Yeah, it should be fun. Indiana looks a lot improved. Their style looks different. I think there was way better conversation to be had. One, also, like, the Valkyries opened their whole season. Like, that doesn't seem to be a conversation at all. And the colors for the Valkyries, I did not realize that purple is... I really, really like that purple they went with.
Yeah.
The, like, lavender-ish purple, I thought was a really, really good color.
Are you a Valkyrie fan now?
No, I'm still a Fever fan.
A Fever, okay.
But I do really, I really like the colors they went with for the Valkyries. I thought it was solid.
Kyle can't get Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical out of his head now. Thank you, Mark.
Sure.
There are worse songs, Kyle, to think and have in your head than... ONJ singing Let's Get Physical.
I almost said something got me in trouble. I'm glad I have such discipline today.
319-366-1600. Let's get at 327 to an Emil's Hideaway. We got 39 more of these, folks. 39. Boy, I hope there's some sort of flagrant foul in every one of them so we can just break it down here in the state of Iowa each and every day. 2030, you're having fun with me, and I'm having fun with you as well. Congratulations to the Northsiders for winning over this weekend. All right, let's get to Mark and an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update that's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue, southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Features a bar and a huge menu of comfort food for all ages, and they are right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. What do we got today?
Iowa women's basketball has signed 6-foot forward Emily Rodriguez, a transfer from Central Florida. Rodriguez averaged 11.9 points per game last season with a high of 21 against Iowa State and was named to the Big 12 All-Freshman team. The number one national seed in the NCAA softball tournament was ousted Sunday. Liberty took down Texas A&M, which became the first top seed to lose in the regionals in 20 years. Kirkwood begins play in its 10th straight national junior college softball tournament today. The six-seeded Eagles open this afternoon at 5 against number 11 Johnson County of Kansas. Kirkwood won a meeting earlier this year, 11-2. After being swept by Oregon in the regular season final series, Iowa will enter the Big Ten baseball tournament this week as the number 3 seed. The Hawkeyes will open Wednesday night against number 10 Rutgers and will play number 6 Indiana on Friday in pool play. Finally, the Indianapolis 500 will have a rookie pole sitter for the first time since 1983. Robert Schwartzman, a Russian-Israeli, never competed in an oval race, shockingly claimed the pole for Sunday's race. And Scott, as you know, Teo Fabi was the last rookie to win that pole.
From Milan, Italy. Teo Fabi in 1983. Yeah, we'll talk with Mark Janes on Thursday from Indianapolis. And more on that if we get to it before 4 o'clock here today. And we'll also get to the Iowa baseball team as well. Do you like the new way they're doing the Big Ten tournament? I don't know if I am a fan of it.
I'm a double elimination guy.
I am too. This whole pool play, four pools with three teams in each, and they do it based off the seed. So I was the top seed in their particular pool, which includes Indiana and Rutgers. So you play round robin, best record advances. If there's a tie, whoever wins the head-to-head goes. Top four then go to a single elimination. I'm not sure I like it.
You're guaranteed games either way, whether you do it this way or double elimination.
We'll see. Got to let it play out once,
yeah,
I guess.
Let's see.
It's 44 games this year. Oh, good. We got 43 more then if we get some controversy. We'll never have any more controversy, Isaac, in the WNBA this year.
I hope so. Again, I just want to watch basketball, which apparently is too much to ask for at times, but I just want to watch basketball and have basketball discussions. But whatever gets the clicks, I guess.
319-366-1600. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit about a historic day at Quail Hollow yesterday, get to Iowa baseball and more when we return.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. It's going to be cloudy, cool, and windy through the day with temperatures held to the low to mid-60s. On top of all of that, it's going to be raining at times with periodic showers here and there. It's more widespread rain along with some thunderstorms will be moving through this evening and continue overnight. Rain could be heavy at times and lead to localized flooding, especially in any low-lying areas. As we head into the morning hours of Tuesday, there could still be some widespread rain with the activity becoming more scattered in the afternoon. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
We've said it for years. We want to give you our best price or most competitive price up front, and now Ford's brought that to the table.
Just makes you feel good.
Patrick Eads and Terry Adams with Deary Ford.
It's a true Ford employee pricing plan.
As if you work for Ford or you're a retiree from Ford,
you could walk in and buy a new Ford for less money than I could purchase one for.
I have never seen Ford do a sale like this.
The From America for America event through June 2nd.
Shop Deary Ford, Iowa City.
When we say here for you, we mean it.
It's a great deal.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar. And as you head to Quickstar, you can stop on in and pick up their chicken. It is no ordinary chicken. Your dinner is hand-breaded, fried to perfection, and ready for you to enjoy. Try Quickstar's juicy chicken tenders or their boneless wings, perfect for dipping in your favorite sauce. And they also have easy-to-grab-on-the-go chicken with a pair of your favorite sides and beverages. And those delicious ready anytime crispy chicken sandwiches. This isn't just any chicken. It's no ordinary chicken. And it is available at Quickstar. And also available right now, Nature's Touch Butter, 1 pound for $2.99, limit two. And the Quickery Buns, hamburger, hot dog, or brat buns, 8 count, 2 for $3, and limit four. All available right now when you stop in at your neighborhood Quickstar.
Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel is your place to eat, play, stay 24 hours a day. With 1,300 slot machines, 25 table games, bingo, entertainment, three dining venues, Starbucks, and a luxury hotel, it's your perfect place for an exciting night out or a relaxing staycation. It's fight night at Meskwaki. Throne MMA makes its debut at Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel on Saturday, June 21st at 7 p.m. Don't miss your chance to witness this intense night of fights and jaw-dropping knockouts. Tickets are on sale now and start at $45. Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel, your moment, your place.
Must be 21 to attend. Please gamble responsibly. Void where prohibited.
You only have 5 months until Windows 10 support ends. We can help. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. Our special Windows 11 evaluation means we'll come to your business, check every computer, and let you know which ones can handle this crucial software upgrade and which ones need to be replaced. With prices and supply chains in continual flux, you'll want to get your company's plan in place ASAP. Go to ncsei.com and click on Windows 11 Evaluation to get started.
Hey, hey, what do you say? The Cubs are on 1600 ESPN. We're broadcasting Chicago Cubs games all season long. Proudly presented by Fleming Irrigation. Get ready to fly the W and see kgymradio.com for scheduled games.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
3:35, back with you here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class, 1600 ESPN. We got a busy week coming up for you. We've got tomorrow a pair of guests. Jeff Linder from the Gazette is going to join us, and we're going to talk and preview the state track meet, and also a little bit more about you know, what's going on in the world of high school sports with Jeff Linder. And then Cal Eldred will join us coming up in the back half of the program. Looking forward to that. Wednesday will be Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. I cannot guarantee what time it's going to start, though, because the Cubs and the Miami Marlins, that team right there in South Florida, are going to play at 12:05.
Yep.
And as soon as that is done, we will we'll hop on and have Caddy Smack with Brian Haas. And then on Thursday, Mark Janes, the voice of the Indianapolis 500 radio network, will join us. So got a lot to get to. We'll have a Friday topic as well for you. And more throughout the week. We'll have WNBA games by then. The Fever will play again, right, Isaac?
By when?
By Friday.
Oh, yeah. I think they play Tuesday. I think they play tomorrow. I could be wrong.
It's not Angel Reese, though.
No, I think it's Atlanta, if I recall. I could be way off. I'm pretty sure Fever play Atlanta tomorrow.
I would have to look. Yes, 94-46. Head-to-head doesn't always work in pool play where all three win a game. That would be the highest seed advancing. So that would be good for Iowa as well. We'll get to the Hawks coming up here in just a moment. Yesterday, though, the back nine belonged to the world's number one. Scottie Scheffler gets the victory at the PGA at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina. His third major, and set some history. Second time this year in a major we've had a historic Sunday. Of course, at Augusta, Rory McIlroy completed the career Grand Slam. And at Quail Hollow, Scottie Scheffler became the third player under the age of 30 to win three majors and 15 tour events, joining pretty good company, Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. Scottie Scheffler becomes the third person to do that. And they were talking about this last night on the Golf Channel. We are seeing perhaps the dawn of a great era of individual golf. Maybe we've seen it already for about a year and a half with Scottie Scheffler, but what he is doing right now is pretty dominating stuff. And he dominated on that back nine yesterday.
Yeah, the fact that he won is not so surprising. The surprising part was that defending champion Xander Schauffele was 10 strokes behind him. Rory McIlroy was 14 strokes behind Schauffele, or behind Scheffler. Never really contended, those two. And Scheffler got a little dicey at the turn. I think it was tied at one time with John Rahm.
Yes, it was.
Rahm put on a real flurry, but then just faded down the stretch as Scheffler found his game and played better. Rahm 5 over the last three holes and just opened the door for a comfortable win for Scheffler. But maybe we should have expected this, because he has not played poorly this year. He hasn't had his A game. And you could argue that certain times during the weekend, he had less than his A game. But he and Bryson DeChambeau, the only two players to match or go under par all four rounds. So he was the champion.
He was. And you mentioned the fact that he Thursday, Friday, he probably had his C game. Saturday played very, very well. Mm-hmm. And the back nine yesterday played very, very well. So 27 out of 72 holes, he really had it going. John Rahm, I tell you what, if there was a bad luck award, it would go to John Rahm because he got every bad, seemingly bad break yesterday. Lipped out two putts that looked like they were just in the middle. Had a horrible bounce on the drivable par 4 14th that shifted him from, you know, maybe a makeable eagle putt to making par on that particular hole when he had another one that he just missed. And then he kind of went for it at the end and started hunting at the pins, and you can't do that at Quail Hollow because that last three, the green mile is pretty difficult right there at Quail Hollow, but it's still Scotty's world right now. And as well as he is playing, he's playing this week at Colonial, by the way. Of course, he is a Texan, and that is in Fort Worth at Colonial. I would imagine Zach's in the field. Not in the field this week. Former champion. Interesting. Not in the field this week. Okay. So Colonial is coming up this week, and then we get ready for the Beast in about a month, the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Toughest major championship venue that there is.
Well, like horse racing, there's no Triple Crown in horse racing, no Grand Slam in golf this year. And that's a pure rarity. Rory will not win the Grand Slam, but it sets up some interesting dynamics with Scheffler and McIlroy as they go to the U.S. Open and the Open, yet to remain in the major season. And, you know, is Scheffler going to continue this great run for how long? I know you and I hope it's a long time.
Hope so.
At least a year. But truly outstanding play, and I have to take back. I didn't really like Quail Hollow as a major championship venue only because we see it on the tour, have seen it on the tour. But I thought it was a pretty darn good venue.
I thought they were going to go and tear it up as wet as it was, but it dried out throughout the weekend, and it's a good golf course. It showed it. They did not beat it up. Even with it playing a little bit easier. Wind blew on Saturday, a little bit on Sunday, really blew on Saturday afternoon. So, you know, where Scheffler, finished 11 or 10, something like that, under par, that's a nice sweet spot for a major championship. If there is a red number at Oakmont, it means it rained a ton in eastern or western Pennsylvania before that event because – right now, I would take even to win that thing. There's not going to be very many under par outside of Pittsburgh.
It'll be survival.
It is going to be survival.
I'm interested to talk to Brian Haas on Wednesday about these non-conforming drivers. You and I talked about it in the break, and Scheffler and McIlroy were one of 50 players tested. Their drivers were tested. And they had to switch them out before play started. And as I understand it, you hit that driver 500 or 1,000 times, it gets springy, and they have a test that it makes it can make the ball go further the more you use it.
Were not intentionally cheating.
No.
It's just that what you described happened. So that's a great question for Brian on Wednesday when we talk with him with Caddy Smack. And get your question ready to go if you have a query about your game. So we'll do that coming up on Wednesday. But congratulations to Scotty Scheffler. 343, Iowa baseball. We knew it was going to be tough when Oregon came to town. I didn't think it was going to be quite as one-sided as it really turned out to be, Mark. I mean, it was a 7-inning game on Thursday night, and then Friday and Saturday didn't fare a whole lot better for the Hawkeyes. Ended up UCLA did what we thought they would do against Northwestern, and Oregon did what they did, hit 340, I want to say, according to the handout, if I recall the media release. Iowa only hit something like 143 in that three-game series. And Oregon showed why they were the number five team in the country. And their Thursday pitcher showed why he's going to be one of the first pitchers taken in the MLB draft coming up.
Unfortunately, it didn't look like the two really belonged on the same field, except for game two when Iowa had a lead. I think it was 6-2 at one time, and Oregon came back. But this is a very well-rounded Oregon team. You could just tell that. Pitching, defense, offensively, a big home run hitting team, and then the ball and the wind's blowing out to right field on top of that, which aided at least a couple home runs by Oregon. But it's really a solid team, I think. And Iowa got some help from UCLA or from Northwestern, which beat UCLA on Thursday night.
Yeah.
So Iowa really needed only one win to get at least a tie for the championship, but it wasn't in the cards. It was a rough outing for ace K.W. Mueller on Thursday. I got to believe he's going to bounce back in the Big Ten tournament whenever he goes. But, you know, at the start of the season, you say Iowa is going to tie for second and be the number three seed in the tournament.
Take that.
You know, they would have taken that.
You take that. And they'll head to Omaha later on this week to get things underway. And yeah, Rick Keller had some interesting things to say. The head coach for the Hawkeyes after the game yesterday said this team is down right now. It's been a tough 2.5 weeks for this Iowa baseball team with Oregon and Oregon State, the midweek game they had, it's almost 2 weeks ago. You throw that in there. It's been a tough go as of late. But
lost 2 out of 3 to Washington.
Yeah, and lost 2 out of 3 to Washington in there to boot. But as he mentioned, season's not over. He's interested to see, and he thinks his team is going to rally. I believe they're going to rally. Obermueller will go in game one, I'm sure. Need to get that one. Need to get at least to the semifinals would be my guess to obtain a regional at this point. Would that be what you were thinking as well?
I think a final at a minimum.
You think a final? Okay. I think semifinal. I think they can wiggle in. Depending on, it's much like basketball. If you're going to have a bunch of teams come in and steal bids, then Iowa's in trouble. But if it goes pretty much according to form, then I got to think Iowa's okay.
I didn't check Iowa's RPI. It was 67 going into the series against Oregon. And
playing, I'm on it.
Playing the number five team in the country, even despite losing all three, you might have gone up a little bit. I don't know. Those are quad one losses.
I'm on it right now. Isaac, what do they got to do? What do you think?
It really depends on who they would play. I think if they make the semifinal, I think they're probably in, but I guess it's better to never leave anything up to chance. So making a final, I think they're definitely in. I think semifinal, they are probably in, I guess the best way to put it.
73 Iowa is right now.
Drop 6 spots.
Yeah, they're 73 right now. Nebraska's 64.
Michigan's higher than that.
Michigan, Indiana, and Nebraska are all, and Washington are all ahead of Iowa.
So then Indiana in their pool would be, I don't know how far that would bump them up if they were to beat Indiana in pool play.
That's a huge game. I mean, they're all huge at this point. Iowa's got to win. I think, do we agree? The bottom line is Iowa's got to get out of the pool.
Yeah.
They got to get out of the pool to move up. So if they can do that, then what? Probably get to number two, which is UCLA. And you beat UCLA, I think you got a good shot.
Yeah, once you get to the semis, win or go home. So
best case scenario would be Iowa starts Obermueller game one, gets about 10 in the first two innings, maybe sits him down. I know it's a little bit of a gamble. It's a lot of a gamble. Save him maybe for UCLA. I don't know.
If he pitches Wednesday, Iowa plays again on Friday. The semis are Saturday, I believe.
Probably doesn't work out pitch-wise.
So Wednesday to Saturday, that's only a couple days rest in between. So, yeah, if you score 10 in the first inning and want to sit him, that'd be optimum.
That would be fun. I think that would be good. But, hey, you got to. That's why you got a staff there, right? You got to have the guys step up.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to win the first one to get to – That's hey, a lot of coaches have said that. There have been a lot of coaches over the years, as you and I both know, Mark, at the state high school baseball tournament that thought they had a breeze in that first game of the state tournament and did not throw their number one. And a lot of them went home.
Live to regret it.
A lot of them went home. Coming up on 350, we'll take a short break, come back, and have more for you here on a Monday edition of the Jim Class. Stay with us. More to come after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Good Guys Auto Parts, Iowa City's only family-owned, family-run auto parts store, invites you to experience something gooder. Gooder prices, gooder brands, gooder warranty. Swing by to shop in person or give us a call for fast, free delivery straight to your door, garage, man cave, or she shed. Good Guys has been voted ugliest parts store 15 years straight. But hey, like your mom said, it's what's on the inside that counts. Good Guys Auto Parts, gooder than good, the goodest.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
The playoffs are in full swing, and you can get in on all the action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest game-changing moments to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code JOEQ, J-O-E-Q, to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-494-6139. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-494-6139.
Back to wrap things up, Monday edition of the Jim Class. Again, no Spencer on sports today. Spencer back tomorrow. The Cubs and the Marlins coming up at, 5:05 here today. 319-366-1600. Need to get to this. It is your chance to enter into the Spring into Cash giveaway right now at 1600 ESPN. We've teamed up with a national contest to give our listeners a chance to win $5,000 with the keyword. And today's keyword is goal. Would you like to say it, Isaac?
No, I think you got a handle on it.
Well, I thought you were going to do the goal.
I don't have the lung capacity to hold that O like they do.
Okay, but it is goal. That is today's winning keyword. Go to KGYMradio.com right now. Enter that word into the entry form for your chance to win. Contest rules available at the website at KGYMradio.com. Mentioned during the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, Mark, a lot of controversy over the weekend. Hey, it was a controversial weekend, except for Scheffler. He shut all the doors.
Didn't get arrested.
No, did not get arrested and won everything in Charlotte. But in Indianapolis, I tell you what, when you have the guy that owns the racetrack that you penalize, you mean business. If you missed it, Roger Penske, who owns as a three-car team in the NTT IndyCar Series, two of his drivers were penalized for having a modification of the attenuator at the back of the car.
Say what?
The attenuator at the back of the car, where the wing attaches to the back end of the car. You've got the gearboxes back there. You've got other things back there as well. They made a modification. You cannot do that. So IndyCar yesterday decided, as they went through technical inspection, this is a no-no. You're not going to be eligible for the pole for that Fast 12, and which they cut down to six, and then they ended up with the pole winner of Robert Schwartzman, the 83 car for a brand new team. Never driven on an oval before, and all of a sudden, here he is, winning the pole. First rookie since 1983 to win the pole position. But then today, they furthered the penalty. So two-time defending champion Joseph Newgarden and Will Power, another former champion, are going to start 32nd and 33rd on Sunday. All the way back, and their crew chiefs, if you will, are not going to be, they're going to be suspended for the race.
These inspection teams seem pretty good at what they do. So why do teams do that?
From what I read and understood, they were not technically trying to do something illegal. They were trying to, they were lurking into the gray area. If that makes any sense, lurking into the gray area. And IndyCar thought what they did was an unfair advantage. It was not on the car of Scott McLaughlin. Unfortunately, he hit the wall a ton on Sunday morning, so he did not get a chance to go into the Fast 12. He will start 12 because his car did not have that modification in it. The other two did. So more on that with Mark Janes coming up on Thursday. Before we leave, let's get to our friend Troy from Muscatine County. We started off with Caitlin Clark. We might as well end with Caitlin Clark, as Troy's got a Caitlin question. Hi, Troy.
Not really a Caitlin question, but a gray area question. I was just wondering if I was looking at timelines on X, and do you question the optics of Dave Portnoy attending the game, placing a bet before the game, and then pulling for that bet during the game? On Twitter, on X, online. You question those optics?
I'm a conspiracy guy. I will question it.
I was also talking to a player before the game, too, but probably because the player was Sophie Cunningham, so I understand that. But
I hadn't thought about that, Troy, but it's a really good point. And if he had inside information, I'm not saying Dave Portnoy did, the owner of Barstool, but wasn't there like six figures involved in that bet?
I think it was for $25K, but as he was like saying, I think you can look on his Twitter timeline. I think he was like saying one more rebound, right? And we know that lead rebound was secured at 222, although the Fever were ahead by like 30 all the fourth quarter. So
anyway. Yeah, Clark was clearly putting back in the game
to get a triple double,
not to get the Portnoy bet, but to necessarily. Yeah,
just wanted to get your take. Thank you.
Good point.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate that. 319-366-1600.
More controversy.
More controversy. Mm. Get me that Fever game sooner than later, Isaac.
I just want basketball at the. Focus
you can't have basketball in the WNBA.
I just want basketball.
The DEI in Des Moines will catch them. 85-82. Perfect way to end the program here
Put
today.
Put some geofencing around Gamebridge Arena.
There you go. All right, Mark, have a good night. We'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Back with you at 3 tomorrow with the next edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN.
Harry Douglas here. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, folks. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have